It's a real pleasure for me to be here with you folks this morning. When Bob made the comment about the Billy Graham choir, and then he would introduce, here's now Mr. Don Lanier, I thought he was going to say, now here's Johnny. And boy, I'm sure glad he didn't do that. Before we begin, let's pause again before God in prayer. Our Father, we are indeed grateful this morning for the privilege of worshiping You. And Father, You tell us in Your Word that unless the Lord buildeth the house, we labor in vain. And so, Father, with this in mind, we pray that the Spirit of the living God would take the words of my mouth and seal them to our hearts in a very special way. Allow us to make application where need be. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And for His sake, amen. Dr. Stephen Alford, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in New York City, wrote a little book some time ago, Becoming a Man of God. And in this book, he makes this statement, the Bible always associates the man of God with a strictly disciplined devotional life. And then he goes on to share some verses and then makes this statement, after years of Christian experience, that great man of God, George Mueller, reached a point in his life when he had to write, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. And I'm sure if we paused to take, 5 or 10 minutes this morning, to have some of you just to stand up and share a word of testimony as far as your own personal priorities in this business of the devotional life and your own heart as far as your heart desire of really serving God, that in the depths of your heart, each of us would say, boy, I want to serve God and make my life really count for Him. And I know in examining my own heart this morning, I can say that above all else, I want to serve Jesus Christ and have my life used in a significant way of making an impact in this lost and dying world that we live in today. And yet in the same breath, we would have to look around in our own lives and in the life of Christendom at large and say we are not making that impact the way we should. And as I travel around, I would say particularly that this church is very unique in America. And the outreach and the tremendous impact that you folks are having on this community is unique in America. And yet, I also know that this could be a very temporary thing. And the thing that I want to speak on this morning, I think, hits at the very root of whether the people in Carl Ridge Presbyterian Church, whether I, as an individual Christian, whether you, as an individual Christian, will make a lasting impact on your community and in your life, what that will depend on. And I believe at the very crux of that is our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, getting to know Him personally. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, it was interesting this morning, in my own quiet time, reading over in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. And surely that is our heart's desire this morning, isn't it? To have all the glory go to God for whatever he accomplishes. In 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And in going through this, this word fashioning yourselves really stuck out and kind of clicked. And I said, boy, you know, that is what it's all about, this business of getting to know Christ personally. It is fashioning my life after the person, the attributes, the qualities of the person of Christ. And the thought also struck me that we can also fashion by choice our lives by our former lust. And it's kind of like going to a fashion show. Going into the fashion show downtown. You can fashion your life in any way that you desire. You can fashion it after the holiness of Jesus Christ, or you can fashion your life after your former lust. And let your lust and your flesh determine how and what you do in your personal Christian life. It is said of Moses that God spake to Moses face to face in Exodus 33:11. And it also says in 2 Corinthians 3, if you'd like to turn to this portion, we'll spend just a moment here. In verse 16, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so in my own mind, I have to ask myself, well, what is the particular objective of my time with Jesus Christ, the devotional life, getting to know Christ as a person? What am I trying to do? And it is nothing more or nothing less than being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. And you know, in thinking about the person of Christ, I also have to ask myself a question. Well, why Christ? Why do I have to be changed into the image of Christ? Why not the Holy Spirit? Why not God the Father? And I believe the answer to that, in my own mind, is found in John 1. Verse 18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So all that we know about God the Father, we know through the person of Jesus Christ. And so it would well pay us to get to know this person, the person of Jesus Christ. While meditating on this, I was reading over in Genesis 1, and I would like to spend the rest of the morning that I have here in Genesis 1 and 2 to draw some analogies about the person of Jesus Christ that is brought out in the first and second chapter of Genesis. And I really got blessed on this because in a very unique way, I believe that the Scripture has a special order about it. There are no accidents in the Scripture. And we can see, even over in Genesis, we can see the person of Jesus Christ coming out very loud and clear. Genesis 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good. In fact, it was very good. In verse 27, it says, so God created man. And I can remember in 1953, when I was recreated as a young guy, as a sophomore in high school, I met Jesus Christ in a personal way. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. So I was born again as a son of God. And just like that, there was new life. And where there is life, there is the need for growth. Where there is life, there is a need for growth. It's very simple. You are either growing and maturing in life, or you're dead. There's never a standstill. Likewise, in the Christian life, where there is new life, there is also the need for growth. And you are either growing in Christ and maturing in Christ, or you are dying. You are never standing still in the Christian life. One of the two. You are becoming more into the image of God the Father, or you are becoming carnal, 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 or dead, as far as all of your fruitfulness and effectiveness for Christ. So God created man. And then in verse 28, he said, and God blessed them. And over in Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So this morning, we stand before the living God of having all of the blessings that we need for our Christian growth in the person of Jesus Christ. He is all and in all. He is what we need, the person of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, there again, well, why? You know, why Jesus Christ? And of course, partly I've already shared. But in Genesis 2, I would like to draw some other analogies which I believe will answer this and bring it out in a very clear way. Beginning in verse 7. And the Lord God, and of course this is the same creative act as in Genesis 1, it's just a little more described in detail. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and for thence it was parted. And then it talks concerning these rivers. And then in verse 15 it says, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. And you recall the verse in 1 Peter about fashioning yourselves. An excellent cross-reference to this. To dress it and to keep it. My job in the Christian life is to dress or to fashion my life around the person of Christ. And just like God in Genesis placed man in the garden, God has placed you and I in the person of Jesus Christ as born-again believers. And that's the abiding chapter. That's the story of John 15. If ye abide in me, and I abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The abiding Christian life. God has placed us, as it were, into the person of Jesus Christ. And in verse 9 in Genesis 2, it says, And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Which to me, I think we can draw the analogy there on Jesus Christ in two particular ways. That talking about the food, in John 6, it talks about Jesus Christ being the bread of life. That's John, 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so each morning of my life, I want to meet the Savior, first of all, for food. Because Jesus Christ says that I am the bread of life. And just like in Genesis 2, that we can see the tree in the garden as being pleasant for the sight and for food, Jesus Christ this morning in my life and in your life is pleasant for sight and is good for food. Good for food. Jesus Christ, the bread of life. And he that eateth of me shall never hunger. And I wonder this morning if you or I are hungry. Am I hungry this morning? Have I had, as it were, a meal around the banquet table of Jesus Christ? And let me say this parenthetically, that it's very, very, very easy to be caught up in all of the activity, the busyness of what is going on today and miss the meal. Very, very easy. And I dare say that very few of us here this morning would miss our physical meals. Come what may, we are going to eat 3 meals a day. And if you're like me, there are some things that you really go out of your way to get. I'm looking over here at Charlie Buller smiling. For example, last night, I love fresh raw oysters on the half shell. It's one of my weaknesses. And we went all over this town last night trying to find a seafood restaurant that served these dumb oysters on half shells. And they were very filling, very good. And so I'm living in total victory this morning. But then I have to ask myself the question, am I full with Christ this morning? Have I had that meal? Is he satisfying the hunger pains down in the depths of my heart? Is he you? Or am I being caught up in all of the busyness, activities, even good activities? And we will get to that shortly. And he's pleasant to the sight. And Jesus Christ this morning is that. In Matthew 11:28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know, I know this morning as I look out before this people that there are some of you that are discouraged. There are some of you that are frustrated. You have the good smile on your face. And you have this facade. But down in the depths of your heart, you know that you aren't doing the things that you need to be doing in your Christian life. Jesus Christ's message for that is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. And that is why it's so vital that I have a time every single day that I get before the person of Jesus Christ and pour out my soul to him and allow him to give me rest. Have we done that this morning? Have you had that time with Jesus Christ today? Have I? And then going on, in verse 10, talks about the river. And you remember the story over in John 4 about the story of the woman at the well. And she was thirsty. And Jesus Christ had a tremendous, fantastic ministry in her life because he is the living water. And he makes the statement that if we thirst, that we can go to him for that living water and drink of it, and it shall overflow into the abundant Christian life that God has planned for us. See, God never intended to place us, he never intended in the first place in the Garden of Eden to place man in a garden that was not sufficient for his needs. He planned the Garden of Eden. He met every single need that man had. And also in our Christian life, he has made every provision because of Ephesians 1:3, and every provision that we need is through the person of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we need is water. And Jesus Christ is the living water. And I was just sharing with Charlie Bowler coming down yesterday. You hear the old statement that you can't make a horse drink water, but you can lead him to the water. And most of us stop there. But I believe that we can go one step further. I believe that it is possible to feed a horse salt, whereby we'll create a thirst. And you know, I think it's possible this morning for some of us to be kind of callous and not actually be that thirsty for Jesus Christ. I believe that's possible. And I believe that is one of the beauties of a conference like this. To me, a conference is salt. And it gets us kind of wound up where we want more. And I hope if there's any of you here that needs that salt to kind of make us thirsty, that today we'll meet that need in your life. And then the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden in verse 15 to dress it and to keep it. And that is a day in and day out job. I need to fashion, to dress, and to keep this relationship with Christ every day. And then it's interesting to me that the very last thing that God created for man was a wife. This never computed before. And I don't know of all the implications of that, but verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And then he formed the good gal, our wives. So I began praying. I said, "Well, Lord, what is there in this thing that could be an application concerning this relationship, devotional relationship to Christ?" And I believe it's this: that the last thing on the priority list for my Christian life should be the ministry. I really believe that. That the very top of my priority should be the thing of getting to know Christ personally. And I started thinking about that and started reflecting upon our own motto in our own organization, to know Christ and to make Him known. And for most of us, that motto goes like this: to make Him known and then to know Him, in that order. And this morning, God would say to know Christ first. To know Christ first. And dearly beloved, if you are out roaring around the city 9 nights a week, ministering 36 hours a day, throwing up dirt in the air, and all of the rest, and that is your top priority, I would seriously step back and take a glance at that and see exactly what I was producing. Because Jesus Christ does not want temporary fruit. John 15:16 makes it very, very clear that God wants fruit that will remain. And if you aren't taking anything in, what you're giving out is superficial, and it will not last. Someone has said, if your outreach exceeds your intake, your upkeep will become your downfall. Did you get that? Let me go over that one more time. In fact, the first time I heard this, it was from the same guy, Bob, that Bob was mentioning a little while ago, that helped us, both of us, in the Christian life. If your outreach exceeds your intake, your upkeep will become your downfall. And boy, if you don't go away from here with any other thought but that, I would say personally that this session will be a giant success. How is your input? How is your intake? Are you taking in? Are you taking in of the person of Jesus Christ? Or is, in fact, your outreach exceeding that? If so, it's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when it begins to taper off and to fall, because it's superficial. And you and I have to examine our hearts before the living God each day, don't we, to answer that question. In closing, in verse 31 of Genesis 1, you recall that we said, "And God looked out at all that He created, and He made this statement, that it was very good." That it was very, very good. And I wonder this morning if, as God looks down into the depths of my heart and your heart and my life before Him, if He can say, "It's very good." Am I fashioned? Am I being dressed? Am I keeping that which He has set before me to keep? Or am I dropping the ball? And there will be three things that you will have to guard, and I will have to guard against. And because of time, I'll just share the reference, and that's in Luke 14:16-24, the parable of the Great Supper. And he brings out three hindrances, three things that kept men from going to that supper. And I just entitled it, "It'll be your work, your possessions, or your flesh." Will be the three things. Your work, your possessions, or the flesh will keep you and I this morning from meeting with the living God and having Him look down from heaven on what He has farmed and make the statement, "It is very good." And gang, if you haven't picked up one of these, I would really encourage you to drop by the desk and to pick one of these things up. Because I don't know of any other one thing that has helped my own personal devotional life any more than this little devotional diary. There's something about it. There's something about writing it down that makes it stick. I don't know what it is. It's just kind of a chemistry there. But boy, when you get before the living God each day, and then He gives you a thought, and you just jot it down and make application, it'll stay with you a long time. And so I would really encourage you to do that. And I trust that all of us this morning will examine our own hearts to see if Jesus Christ is in fact being fashioned in my life and how I am keeping this garden, as it were. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You again for the person of Christ. And Lord, we would just pause now before You and ask that You would again seal to our hearts that which we need to apply. And Lord, we would ask that You would give us a hunger and a thirst for the person of Christ that will allow us to be built up in the person of Christ, that we may make that tremendous impact on our community and the world that You alone wants us to make. We commit the time into Your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.